Hi, I'm Eric, also known as Trekkie V47, from the Ranger Command Power Hour and the Starfleet Escape Podcast. You're listening to another great Four-Eyed Radio product. For more shows, check out foureyedradio.com. It's Morphin time!
Today on Ranger Command Power Hour.
Okay.
Recording in progress.
That's what the lady says.
Okay. Recording in progress.
Recording in progress.
Not a robot at all.
Right, yeah. The most 90s text-to-speech they could get.
And now on Ranger Command Power Hour.
Aye, 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 aye. It's the Ranger Command Power Hour.
Today on the Power Hour, episode 199, Ranger Nation Spotlight, Little Adam 87, hashtag I Love Power Rangers, recorded on May 10th, 2022. Welcome to the Ranger Command Power Hour on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. It's time to ranger up with your hosts. I'm Eric, also known as TrekkieB47.
And I'm Zach, also known as Hollywood.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/RangerCommandPH to learn more about supporting Ranger Command Power Hour. Thanks to our $5 and above patrons, Charles D, Chris P, Steve F, AJW, Jacob P, Steve M, Tyler B, Tyler W, Charlie N, Craig M, Liz M, Mason M, Kevin R, Steve R, Hassan A, Bo H, Josh P, Derek G, and Teresa B for supporting us this month. Remember, you can go to linktr.ee/RangerCommandPH for our link tree with all the links for the podcast, including our Amazon affiliate link at amazon.com/shop/RangerCommandPH. Today we have a Ranger Nation spotlight with a good friend of the podcast and us as well. We're joined by Adam, also known as Little Adam A7 on Twitter. Welcome to Ranger Command Power Hour.
Hey guys, hey, I'm so honored to be here. You know, and it's so different being on the other side of this. I listen to this intro every week or every other week. And it's like an out-of-body experience right now.
It's different when it's like polished and professionally edited and Eric takes his expertise and just makes everything perfect. And then you get in here and it's just like, welcome to, what are we doing again? Blah, blah, blah.
That's behind the curtain. Yeah, you get a little peek behind the curtain. And I guess that'll be weird hearing yourself on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely will be. I'm not a fan of my voice as it is. So my Boston accent might pop out a little bit more. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Listen, I'm all for it. I love it. I'm going to try my best not to imitate you. But sometimes it's a little bit of monkey here, monkey say. So I apologize if I start slipping into an accent.
No worries, Zach.
And trust me, I used to hate my voice, but you know, when you record and then you have to edit it, and I'm basically hearing myself like three different times when I do these over 8 years, I think I've gotten used to the sound of my voice. So Adam, just get into podcasting. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I'm gonna fire it up after this. This is proven to be the drive that I need to do it.
Exactly. So the reason we have you here is to let our audience get to know you a little better and talk about the, I think, wildly successful hashtag that was literally this time last week. So we're recording a week out for hashtag I Love Power Rangers, which was on Twitter and got some pretty big response from Power Rangers, the official account. So we'll get a little bit into that in a bit. But Adam, just for our audience and our listeners, because, you know, I've gotten to know you throughout the years on Twitter and you've helped me with a bunch of comic book stuff over the years. And I think the best time that I think we had together was at PMC 2018.
Absolutely.
We're in the line for RJ Kyler. Mm-hmm. Just to get his autograph. And I mean, God, that line was like, what, 2 hours?
Oh, it had to have been. But, you know, I think things like that, they provide like such a bonding experience. I mean, I only knew you through the internet at that point, right? Like, I only knew you through the internet. But and I guess the internet's good for something, right? For
friendship.
It can be. So the dumpster fire usually is. But yeah, spending like 2 hours in line and talking about everything and getting to know each other and what we like, what we dislike about Power Rangers and everything else. It's one of those experiences I'll never forget. And I'm so glad to have learned more about you and to have your friendship because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And over the years, you know, I've gone to a number of these PMCs And there's actually one this year, which unfortunately I won't be able to go to. But especially that 2018 one, which was the last one that we all had in person, because then the pandemic hit and it's been 4 years since the last PMC. That feels like a lifetime ago.
It does. And like, I keep thinking, like, as we were getting closer to the next PMC 2020, I was like, boy, this time maybe I can meet the Beast Morphers cast and we can have the whole unveiling with the next season and everything. And then the pandemic came along and like, screw your dreams. We don't care about that. Power Rangers, you don't need to see the next season. Hasbro can just announce it wherever they need to.
Yeah. And I think for anyone who's into the fandom, I would say try to go to one of these conventions, not just for the Ranger actors, but if a ton of your friends are going, I highly recommend it. Like, especially Ranger Stop or Power Morphicon, despite how some of the conventions are run, you know, there's still a good time that you can have with your friends. And yeah, PMC 2018, I mean, that was the first time we got to meet you, Adam. And then like I said, us being in line, that was perfect, because usually I'm a little bit introverted and talking to a stranger in line, that's not my ideal form of of entertainment. But I knew, because you were such a friendly person and we had known each other on Twitter for a bit, that was just a great time.
I'll let you in on a little secret. I'm introverted as well. So like back in the day of LineCon, as we so affectionately call it now, I recognized faces from who I saw on Twitter and everything. And,
yeah.
And just standing in line for God knows 4 hours to just get into the convention, seeing faces I recognize and just reaching out and saying, hey, I love your work. I love interacting with you online. It's great to meet you in person. I wholeheartedly agree that the best thing about going to any of these conventions is just meeting fellow fans.
Yeah.
And the community in itself, it's so tight knit, and people have their differences, that happens, but everyone is there to like the same thing. And it is one of the most accepting communities I find in all the different nerd communities that I'm involved in. I really do believe that Power Rangers is the fandom that for some reason, there's just a tighter bond between people. Mm-hmm. And I do attribute that to the show in a lot of ways, just because of the things it promotes. LineCon stunk in that regard of waiting around. But meeting people, yes, I agree with you. I encourage, if you can go to one show, do it.
Yeah, and especially conventions are coming back. And I know Ranger Stop is selling tickets now for their November show. That's in Zach's backyard. Zach, I think you're going to that one, right?
Yeah, I'm certainly going to try. I mean, I had such a great time doing it back in 2019.
Yeah, right before the pandemic.
Yeah.
That was a really good memory as well, yeah.
That was like a really fun back-to-back of doing 2018 PMC, getting to meet Adam, getting to hang out, and getting to see all of the usual people we get to hang out with at these cons. And then the following year, just immediately right back into it at Ranger Stop here in Orlando. It was just another fun experience. And yeah, I'm glad it's coming back. And I definitely think that Ranger Stop this year is something I want to make happen somehow.
I hope you do get to do it. So the very last thing that I did before the pandemic, and this was in February of that year. So February 2019 was the Kamen Rider meetup in New York.
Yeah.
I have never watched an episode of Kamen Rider ever. And I own the 01 Blu-ray. I have to get around to watching it. It's on the list. It's on the agenda. But because it's a shared, there's a shared appreciation because of
yes.
the Toku fandom, you know, that's why I decided, you know what? I know a lot of the people that are going there. I've missed them since PMC. I'm going to go out and join up and see what happens. And then I met a lot of other cool people there. Like It Takes Two to Toku. I met Craig and Steve over there. It was a small event in quotation marks. I was in Times Square and then people were looking around like, what are you people doing? but it was so much fun. And it's not even something, I mean, I know it ancillarily,
yeah.
but I still wanted to join because I knew people there.
Exactly. And that was kind of like Zach and I experience with C2E2, like that 2020 C2E2, literally a week and a half before the shutdown in Illinois. And we got to do the same thing with Team Kamen Rider and have a live show at a convention. I mean, it's just the convention experience is so rewarding, and it's because of the people. Like, you can take the celebrities out of it. You can take the merchandise out of it. If a bunch of your friends are there, it's such a great time. It's a wonderful place to meet people. So Yeah, I didn't want to go on about conventions, but I mean, that's where we connected, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's topical with what we're about to discuss. And then I just realized now that I think I said the last experience was February 2019, right before the pandemic. No, it has to be 2020 because that's what...
Yeah. It was February 2020.
It just seems like such a long time that it's like, oh, let's add another year to it. Why not?
Yeah. Time is just a weird soup at this point.
Exactly. Pretty much. So, Adam, I know you're such a huge Power Rangers fan, just like the rest of us. So what has been your personal history with Power Rangers? How did you first experience the show? How did you get into it?
So my experience, I think, parallels quite a bit of people's, but it's also a little bit unique as well. And I got into it right as I was a kid. You know, mm-hmm. It premiered in 93. So I was about 6 years old at the time. And I just remember, I watched the Fox Kids block like every other kid did. And you alternate between the Fox Kids and WB, right? Because those were the two blocks for cartoons. You do all your homework. You screw around in the morning. You go watch that. You watch your Spider-Man. You watch your X-Men. You watch your Batman. So I was starting my interest in appreciation of superheroes at that point, mm-hmm. too. And I vividly remember like the commercials for MMPR. And being like, oh my God, what is this? This is live action. this is amazing, you know? And then they're shouting and they're doing the karate moves and they're doing stunts and everything. And then I remember when the show premiered, and then I vividly remember watching the intro with Ron Wasserman's theme song. If there is anything that got me into Power Rangers, it's that song.
Yeah.
It kicks so much right? It's memorable. It's memorable to the point that we still use Go-Go Power Rangers to this day. We can't escape it. It's here. Here to stay. But yeah, I was just taken in by the music, mm-hmm. the soundtrack. My dad played a lot of rock music growing up, and he loves Aerosmith, and he loves into that nature. And I'd always hear that stuff on the radio. And just to have like a show that like that had music that was similar to that just blew my mind. And then you have morphing and all this. But then, I mean, the main draw for me was always going to be the Zords.
Yeah.
Just remembering, like, the way that the dinosaurs came onto the screen, like, bursting out of volcanoes, coming out of the ground. So the props and the physicality of it, we know it's people in suits. We know it's models, right? Mm-hmm. But I think one of the draws for the show is that they try to make it look real. They try their best. And yeah, you know it's fake, but at the same time, you grow to appreciate what they do, the commitment to trying to make it look real, given a limited budget.
Yeah, and that's something that I was always into for Power Rangers because I love special effects. I love props. I love behind-the-scenes stuff. And in a world of more reliance on CGI, even to this day, I appreciate when shows take the extra step to do things practical. And we're seeing that like a resurgence in props and practical effects now. And Power Rangers has never let that go in 30 years. And you were talking about the music and the Zords. When those Zords burst out like for the first time, and you've got that Ron Wasserman, like that backing track with the Zords, that ba-dum, 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 ba-bum, 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 like just that. Like the bump, 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 bump. You know what I mean? Like the track that's just for the Zords. It's incredible.
Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love Ron Wasserman's like Redux album.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I absolutely adore it. He was actually the one guest my brother and I wanted to meet at PMC more than anything. And I don't think he had a booth there. He was just walking around. So when I saw him, I was like, I pointed to my brother, I'm like, hey, there he is. Let's go. Let's go. And we were just like, we walk up to him and I'm like, I wouldn't be into Power Rangers without you, man. I love the music. I love you're great. I'm just like a mumbly mess. I had the fortune of meeting Stan Lee, and to me, it was like me meeting Stan Lee.
Wow.
It was like the same thing. Meeting Ron was the same way because he impacted how much I love this show, just simply by his music. And that's not to say that nobody who's come after has done it better, but Ron is like in a league of his own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's probably like looking at me and my brother like, who are these guys? Jesus Christ. Just trying to walk around and enjoy myself.
That was funny because I remember when they were doing the Shattered Grid reading, and then he was just kind of, he stood up in the audience That was like another thing. He did original music for Shattered Grid, and I'm like, where can I get the link for that?
Yeah, I know. give me all of it. I want everything. Just give it to me. Like, that's what, I mean, original music, geez, Ron, just put it out there. We'll buy it.
Exactly. So I think, you know, a lot of us kind of aged out at Power Rangers at one point. Was that the case for you as well? Did you kind of age out at a certain point and then come back to it?
So I did. And the story behind that is I think I started aging out right around high school, right? That's like high school. You're like, oh my God, I got to impress people. Like, what are they going to think if I'm watching Power Rangers still, right? No, but I mean, at that point, I was also reading comic books and I was heavily invested in Marvel and DC. So my interest sort of shifted there. And in high school, I don't think I watched an episode ever, to be honest with you. And then college came around and, you know, I was still invested in the American superheroics, let's call it, and reading comics. And then I want to say, when was it? 2009 is accurate, probably. And I was finishing up college, but I was also working an internship at a financial company here in Boston. And I was having lunch with my friend. And I can remember this. We were downstairs in the lobby area in of the building that we worked in, eating lunch. And I was like, hey, do you remember Power Rangers? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, do you remember how awesome it was with the Green Ranger? And he had the flute and like the Zords came out and like they just burst off the screen and the awesome music and the monster designs and everything. And we started going back and forth a little bit about it. And I think at that moment, that's what reignited my love for it. And then I had a girlfriend at the time and she lived an hour away from me. So I drove down on weekends to visit her and we would stop by Toys R Us because at that point I was also getting started into collecting action figures. I was collecting Marvel Universe at the time, which are 3 3/4 Marvel figures.
Oh, okay.
And so I'd go to Toys R Us to see what they had that was new. And I look up and down the aisle and then I see the 2010.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was a little bit after I had the discussion with my friend. And I'm like, I never had that as a kid. I never had it. I had a best friend who had like his mother bought him everything. The Dragons were Titanus.
Oh,
my God. The dad. He had the whole suite of everything. And I was just like, yeah, I have my Red Ranger flip head and my brother has Green Ranger. That's awesome, right? So it was like, I'm holding the 2010 Megazord in my hand and I'm looking at my girlfriend and I'm like, do I buy this? Like, is it okay? Like 20 minutes of me pacing up and down the aisles holding this Megazord and then being like, F it, I'm buying it. And ever since then, I got back into the show because of it. I've become invested in it. You know, it's another part of the fandom. And from there, I think I started watching the show again with the 2010 reversioning, which is an awful time to start back up.
Yeah, no kidding.
Look, I love comic books too. They're my main hobby. But like when they put the speech bubbles and like they try to make comics.
So bad.
Yeah, it's like, let's take everything that people outside of comic books make fun of it for and put it in Power Rangers. And like, let's enforce that. And yeah, it was just not the right way to go about it. And like, I was like, all right, well, I guess I can watch this just to reignite it. And then eventually Samurai came back around and then I started watching with that. And I've been consistent ever since.
Nice. Now, because you had such a big gap between, what was like the last series that you watched from Mighty Morphin to what? What was your kind of fade out point?
I believe if I'm correct, it's Lightspeed Rescue. And it was right, I think it was before the Super Train Megazord got introduced. Because had it been introduced, I probably would have stayed on. Because that's one of my favorite scenes is that.
That's a good Megazord right there.
Yeah, it's big.
It is.
Big bulky train boy, you know.
Yeah. Like,
so it's amazing looking and it's huge and it's yeah. That, and I think had I kept watching, I may have stayed on. I don't know if I would have for sure, but I probably would have.
Nice. So, what would you say are your top three seasons of Power Rangers?
So my absolute favorite, and it's no surprise to anybody who follows me on Twitter, because I absolutely gush about In Space all the time. And it's for the same reasons that everyone else adores it. It's the culmination of the storyline that was set in motion with Mighty Morphin. There's a lot of sacrifice in there. There's a lot of heroics and what it means to be a hero and people uniting against a common threat. And it's not just the Rangers doing that. It's the entire community of Angel Grove, too, as you see in the last episode. Like, everyone's I'm a Power Ranger. And to me, that's one of the hallmarks of the franchise, is that anybody can be a Power Ranger. So that's why that resonated so well with me. While Andros is the Red Ranger, and he's my favorite character by far, but he's the fish out of water, right? He's the one front. He's an alien, and it's TJ who's really the leader. And I think that also shook up the dynamic and what I believe Power Rangers could be like. Oh, well, you know, Blue can be the leader, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be Red. Andros has leadership capabilities, but it's really TJ who sets the plans in motion and really guides the team together on a united front throughout the series. So In Space, from the suit designs to the absolute kick-ass Megazord. I mean, like, that's the other thing, too, the Astro Megazord. It was
it's incredible.
Yeah, it's a spaceship that transforms into its own Megazord. And I don't think up until that point we had a Zord like that. You know, it was always the conventional five smaller robots gestalt into one.
Yeah.
And that also turned, it was like, oh, that's interesting. And that's what makes it super cool, because you don't have five separate components later on in the series you do. But there's a reason why it's my favorite. It's just one piece. It's striking in the way it looks. And its introduction scene is by far my favorite. Like when it's rocketing towards Astronomer's ship.
So good.
The Earth in the background. It's amazing. I just love it. So that spiel aside, In Space is my favorite.
Well, how was it for you seeing that Astro Mega ship at the 2018 PMC?
I literally wanted to punch through the glass and try to take it if I could. Like, this is my... No. I mean, it was amazing. Like, it was sitting right there. The prop for it was right there. You know, if they could have taken it out and just, like, you know, I would imagine that thing needs to be in a museum. It needs to be in a friggin' museum along with all the other models. You know, that's a part of television history. There's a picture floating around, I recall, of the Dino Megazords, their models of the dinosaurs, just like sitting in some warehouse, right? And it's they're just there. And it's like, what are you doing? This was part of a phenomenon. Those need to be in a museum. Hopefully they're stored away. And like, I can imagine like one day, like Sotheby's or whatever, they could auction those off and they go for millions of dollars because it's part of our childhood. Yeah, seeing it in person at PMC was just, I couldn't have imagined it. Out of body. Seriously out of body. And I'm just thankful that they brought it there.
Yeah, 100%. So what are your other top two seasons?
So my second has to be RPM. And I definitely watched it after it aired. Like, had I known that I had the option of watching it instead of MMPR 2010, I mean, that would have been great. But RPM is the season that I can recommend to anybody who isn't a fan, who just wants to experience what's been going on. Like, it's that season. Like, you know, it's got that Mad Max style world and intro, and it's just so different. And it shows perfectly what the franchise is capable of when it balances things perfectly, in my opinion. The humor is perfectly balanced. There's a seriousness to it. I think the biggest drawback for RPM is the suits themselves. I think they were a little too basic, and I didn't even want to watch it because of that, because of the suits. But then, like, getting into the show, I'm like, yeah, now I love these suits, and now I want Lightning Collection figures of them ASAP. Give them to me, please, Hasbro, if you're listening.
Well, what they said, shift in the gear, which we'll talk about later.
I mean, conjecture. We can forecast. And, who knows? We'll see. And then my third favorite, it's SPD.
Hell yeah.
I mean, simply because you have cats and dogs in the same season. Come on.
Like, mass hysteria.
Yeah, mass hysteria. That's why it's perfect. And I love SPD quite a bit, just for the alien world building that it does. And, you know, Jack is seen as a thief and a rogue at the beginning, and then he grows into a leadership position, and then just enjoying his character growth. Doggy's my favorite because he's a kick commander dog alien. Like, there's nothing not to like about that whatsoever. Yeah, SPD is my third, and those are definitely my top three. They might shift occasionally, like here and there.
Sure.
But those three are definitely my go-tos.
And the SPD was another one that surprised me because we got Ron Wasserman coming back to the franchise after such a long period of time for a completely new era of Power Rangers. It was amazing.
I know, it's his music, and that's probably my second favorite theme song.
Yeah,
in all of them, or introductory song. It's having him come back and hearing his vocals and in his work is just like, oh my god. You know, the surprising thing I learned about Ron too is that he didn't even use an actual guitar when recording all that.
Yeah, it was all synthesizer, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh my god, like you could like rip with the best of them. Like you could be on stage with Slash for God's sake, and you're not using an actual guitar. Jeez.
It's so incredible. So I know a lot of people enjoy their fandom in different ways. What's the best way, or what's the way that you enjoy your fandom the most? Is it collecting? Is it just watching the show? What is it for you that makes your fandom?
I have to say it's the collecting for the most part. I enjoy when a new product is revealed and seeing what work is involved with that product, the background of it, the design, the aesthetics that go into it, and being able to add those to my collection, whether it be figures or Zords or whatever, and just having an appreciation of it. That's pretty much what defines my fandom, and being able to share that with other folks too, you know, and being able to talk about it with other action figure collectors and seeing what they enjoy about it. And, I mean, there are times when I wish I could be a little bit more creative. But I think, to be honest with you, my brother got most of the creativity in our family, and I tend to not have a creative bone in my body. I can do it sometimes. Sometimes I can pull something off. But for the most part, I just enjoy the communal experience and just, you know, sharing the passion with other folks around me.
Absolutely. And that's kind of another thing, how we connected, because I know you're a big fan of the Power Ranger comics, and you've helped me get some variant covers. I've helped you get some variant covers, but I know the variant covers can be quite of an expensive headache, but having you as like a friend and a resource to help me navigate some of this stuff is really awesome.
I've been collecting comics since I was 8 years old, and you learn so much of what's involved and how to hunt things down. And the variant covers, at the very beginning when Boom was announced with the license, I knew that it was going to be a quality company that yeah, took over, you know, because let's face it, the Power Ranger comics before that, not the best. they really doubled down on like what folks outside of Power Rangers thought Power Rangers was, rather than actually right, expanding the lore and all that. Like all the goofiness and stuff is what they focused on. Not that I'm not thankful for the people that did work on those comics. You know, some of those folks that did work on those comics, they're big names in the industry now.
Right.
But it was telling that when you read a comic, it was just, it doubled down on like the antics and like the goofiness.
The cheesiness. And
yeah, yeah. And it's like, no, it's so much more than that. You know, it doesn't, it, like that's a part of it, like a small part of it, but it's not everything. And I think, you know, the current crop of writers, so Ryan's doing the lion's share of writing for Power Rangers. Yeah. I know Matt is now too, is involved with it, and thankfully. And you know that they both have passion for it. And you know they understand what attracts people to Power Rangers, and they're doing everything that they can to bring the best experience possible to the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a breath of fresh air. And I'm telling you, when I first saw that Zero issue in the stores, I was I'm only going to grab the Red Ranger helmet cover. I'm going to grab Jason's because he's my favorite. And then I told myself, I'm going to leave the rest of them on the shelf for everyone else to enjoy it, you know, and to see. And then a week later, I'm back in my shop. I'm like, do you have the others? Like, can I buy them, please, if you still have them? And I was able to get a set that way, fortunately. But, you know, at the start of it, too, with the variants, it was like, okay, you know, this isn't like Spider-Man where there's like millions of variants that you have to worry about. You know, this is manageable, right? I can manage Power Rangers. No.
Not anymore.
Nope, not anymore. And now it's like, oh, 1 in 100 for a miniseries. And it's going to be every issue of the miniseries. It's not going to be the first one because orders don't go down after the first issue of the miniseries. No, we want to keep them high.
Those covers are so frustrating, especially the 1/100s. And for me, even the 150s, like, my comic shop just does not get that. I'm literally the Power Rangers guy. And so I get enough just to have like the A cover, the B cover, the one per store cover, and the unlock cover. Like, that's it.
Yep. They're like, and guess what? I'm the Power Rangers guy at my store too. We're those people. We're those guys.
Exactly.
And I'm thankful for my shop because they're a small chain over here in New England. And I'm thankful to have them. I've been shopping at them since I was in high school. But even them, it's difficult for them. You know, I mean, I have to special order stuff, and it has to be, you know, they like look at me like, you know, we're doing this for you. They're like, we're doing it as a courtesy. And I'm like, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I know it's tough to sell these, but hopefully Boom gets more readers and this isn't an issue going forward. But, you know, that's the one thing I worry about, too, is that the newness is kind of worn off. But we'll see what happens with the charge to 100.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is the most unique item in your collection? Because I know a lot of people have prized parts of their collection that are pretty unique. So do you have something like that?
So I'm going to answer this in two parts, and mostly because one is an item that I had customized, and the other one is from scratch completely. So the first item is a Legacy Morpher that I had chromed red. It has the Red Ranger, Gold Ranger coin that was done. Who's the guy that did those?
Click Clash.
Click Clash, yes. Yeah, he did one. And so I have, it's essentially a Jason Master Morpher.
Oh, nice.
That's how I like to think of it. Before the Master Morpher was a thing even. You know, he came out with that coin and like, you know what? Let me just get another Legacy Morpher. And there was a guy on Ranger Board who was doing chrome plating on things. So I sent it to him. He chromed it red, and I got the black and gold labels from BD15.
Nice.
And that's my most unique item that was customized from an item you can buy. But the true answer that I have is that I have a what I call a jam piece that I'm working on, and it's of the In Space Rangers versus Astronomer and the Psycho Rangers. And the idea behind a jam piece is that every time you meet a comic artist, you get them to draw a character on this. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, because of the different types of art styles on it, it becomes a unique piece. So I think I started that back in 2017, 2018 about. It's like 40% done. And I've like the idea behind it was I wanted to get artists who have never done Power Rangers, who have never drawn Power Rangers, to draw on this. So like a big one, I know In-Hyuk Lee, he's the cover artist right now for Mighty Morphin, I believe. And he drew In Space Blue for me on the jam piece. And I got him before he started doing the Power Rangers work. Another artist I admire is Art Adams. And he does a lot of Marvel and DC work. And he's a big name. He's done kaiju related work as well. So I knew I wanted to have him do Darkonda because that's in his realm. That's his specialty. Yeah. So he did that. And the weird thing about it was like, when I gave it to him, this was like on the Friday of Fan Expo Boston. And he's like, you know, I'll try. I can't guarantee I'll get to it, but I'm going to try. And I like internally, I was like, oh my God, please, 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 please do this. And then Sunday came around and I walk up to his booth and he's like, here you go. It's all set. And I'm just like looking at it and my eyes just bulge out of my skull because he did it exactly what I wanted to. Like he drew Darkonda and it was perfect for him. And I kept profusely thanking him. And he's like, yeah, okay, I get it. Like, you know, it was fun working on it. So the one artist that I have in mind that I'm trying to get, and I know Jason Bischoff is a big fan of his, is Ed McGuinness. He did a lot of Superman work. I think that's primarily what he's known for. He's done Hulk as well.
Oh, nice.
But I want to get him to do Ecliptor on it. So I'm just biding my time until that happens. But long story short, that's the main unique piece in my collection.
I was actually lucky enough to see kind of like the very beginnings of it because you had it at Power Morphicon 2018. So I got to see the very beginnings of this piece.
I know.
And, And even back then, I was like, man, this is going to be so epic when it's done.
Yeah, probably when I'm 60, it's going to be done at this point. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it, you know, as I try to get artists that I really want. Probably 60, but Jordan Gibson, he's another artist.
Oh, yeah.
He did the layouts for it, and when it's all done, he's going to do Andros on it, and he's also going to do the background. So, Jordan, if you're listening, if you happen to be listening, just expect it in like 30 years or so, you know. You got work.
Yeah, with Jordan Gibson, I actually got a commissioned piece from him from C2E2 a few years ago because he was doing those amazing legacy covers at the time with different legacy moments throughout the franchise, which are gorgeous variant covers. And yeah, I got a commissioned piece from him, and it was the Green Ranger. And it was so cool because when he shipped it back to me after the convention, because he wasn't able to finish it at the convention, he actually drew a couple different bonus sketches on the envelope. And I was like, I saved the envelope, I saved the comic. Yeah, he's really awesome.
Yep, that's how cool he is. He's one of my favorite people in the comic industry by far. And I'm just so happy that we were able to get his work on the Power Rangers comics. It's just amazing. They did it. He hit those out of the park.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the hashtag I Love Power Rangers. This was something that happened. It was a fan community driven hashtag that happened on Tuesday, May 3rd. So it was like right before May the 4th be with you. And and it took off. So what was the inspiration for the hashtag, for the idea to get this going?
So I want to say the genesis of this was, and I hate to demean people or use, you know, any time, I don't like saying this, but awful fan first event that we had, the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember watching it and I was like, I get what they're going for. It's like, it's cringy humor, and I can enjoy cringy humor. It was like in the vein of Adult Swim or something.
Sure. Sure. Especially the pinata bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The way that they put the VHS filter on that. I get where they were going for, but holy cow, was that not the right way to do it?
Right. At first, I was just like laughing, right? I was laughing. And then after the event, have you guys seen that gif of Chris Farley where he's happy? It's from an SNL bit where someone tells him, oh, you've been drinking decaffeinated coffee crystal. And then he's happy. And then he's confused. And then all of a sudden he just becomes angry. And he's like, you son of a. And then he starts, that's like in my head what was happening. I was going through like the stages of grief almost, like after the event. And like we were all going through that, right? We were like, what happened? Again, I don't want to demean anyone's work. I know they put effort into it. I just think that the tone of it was completely off. And when you're trying, you're an emerging brand, right? So Hasbro bought this and they want to turn it into something. And I don't think it's any secret that Power Rangers, the Power Rangers team within Hasbro has had turnover.
Yeah.
There. And, you know, we see these new faces. We see faces move on to other teams. Hi, Emily, you did a fantastic job on the team. Please come back. That's what really struck me, was that you're trying to sell this brand. You've also latched on to the Transformers fan first event, and they go through all the detail with their reveals, and they're like, look at this. Isn't this amazing? Like they're really into it. Right. And then we get, oh, here's a pinata. And here's a terrifying mask that has a little short Red Ranger arms and legs on it.
I hate that dumb thing.
I want to know who developed that and who thought it was a good idea. Like what party company thought, you know what? This is what Power Rangers fans want. They want this terrifying thing that looks like it could come to life at any second and strangle you. We want this to exist in the world. So that's really where the genesis of it came. And seeing everyone's reaction, we were all upset. You know, it was treated as a joke. And that's not how we view the brand. And, you know, there's comedy in it and there's corniness, and that's, you know, that's part of its DNA. There's no denying that, right? But when the community outside of Power Rangers, like that's what they think of when they think Power Rangers, they think corniness and they think goofiness and they think, oh, for toddlers and stuff like that. that's not selling the brand to those people that you need to buy into it.
Exactly.
That's doing the complete opposite. And I don't know if it was part of the fact that there was an unfamiliarity with the new people coming in. Maybe they weren't familiar with it. Maybe they thought that's what we like. Maybe thought, oh, you know, goofy pinatas and fart humor and all this stuff. That's what Power Ranger fans like. We don't like fart humor. Please. If I have to clarify anything, we can tolerate it for like an episode or two. Beyond that, please. No. But yeah. And you know, I think that's where the disconnect is, right? Mm-hmm. And at that point, it was a few days later. And I thought, all right, you know, everyone's pretty down about how we're feeling about this, right? And people are upset with Hasbro. And again, we know they're doing hard work over there. You know, when they put effort into these figures and these reveals, we know that. And I don't want to demean anybody. And, you know, I don't want to add to that. I want them to feel proud of the work they're doing, right? And part of that comes from, okay, well, you have to understand your fan base. To that effect, we know Hasbro goes online and uses social media to look at what fans are thinking. That's a tool any company uses. And Twitter and Instagram and all this are the perfect places for that. Like, you can mine stuff out the wazoo for what you want to look for. And you can see what people like about it, what people don't like. So then I started thinking, okay, this could have a positive benefit too, because people are so down and morose about the state of Power Rangers right now. Maybe we need to remind ourselves what we really enjoy about it rather than, you know, seeing all this corniness and stuff.
Exactly.
And I listened to the episode you guys had where you analyzed the Fan First event.
Yeah, we took a 13-minute stream and turned it into a 2-hour discussion.
Yes, and you know what? Every second of it was warranted by far. You know, you weren't being mean to people. You were saying what needed to be said, in my opinion. You know,
right.
I know a lot of people view me as positive, but I try to be realistic too. And that's something I try to pride myself on, that I look at the entirety of the situation and see what's going on. But Hasbro needs to hear these things. They do.
Yeah.
If they're going to listen and if they want things to succeed, they got to find out why we love Power Rangers, why we enjoy it. Why are we still fans? You know, a lot of it is evergreen, right? That's another term that marketing folks use with Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. Is that it's an evergreen brand. Kids watch it and they grow out of it into something else. But then behind that, there's another set of kids that watch it and grow out of it. And, you know, and it keeps going and going. We've stuck through it in one way or another. You know, we might have left at a certain point, but we came back to it. And I think that's the most important note, is what attracts us to this franchise that, frankly, and I'm not going to mince words here, is viewed as something for toddlers and small children for the most part, right?
Right.
And it was kind of like a killing two birds with one stone. By doing this, we could show Hasbro what we love about it beyond the corniness and the goofiness. And on the other hand, we can start feeling good about it again. Right. I mean, because we felt that way because we care so much about what's going on. And a lot of the reaction I saw, too, was valid. Was there some criticism that may have been a little bit too harsh? Sure. I mean, you know, you're caught up in the heat of the moment. But at the same time, you know, a lot of it was coming from a place of, we care about this. We want to see it succeed. We don't want to see it die out, you know, barring all the rumors and stuff about final season of Power Rangers and all this. We care about it. We want to see it continue. So that's really where with this started. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, when I was listening to that episode where you guys reviewed the Fan First event, and Bad Jaw, and Bad Eric, and right? And I had an idea, like I had an idea briefly of how I wanted to promote this. And I thought, okay, well, what if I took that? What if I took Bad Ken's idea of like sitting in the background of a school or whatever, and like smoking a cigarette, and I bought the pinata. And I taped to it that tweet that now in retrospect is pretty condescending, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It's pretty condescending in retrospect. So what if I took that tweet and just punched the pinata, punched right through that tweet or whatever? And like, I wasn't going to smoke an actual cigarette. I was thinking
right.
Like a candy cigarette or something, right? Like make it stupid like that. And that was like my initial idea to kind of promote it, to try to like, all right, people, let's do this. I'm like, nah, that's too harsh. You know, that's not the right way to go about it.
Save that idea for next time.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. You know what? Next time we can all get a bad crew together and just like buy the pinata and be like, yeah, what are you doing? But anyway, so then I started looking into, okay, how do we unite the community? how do we do something that reminds us about what we like? And at first, so what I did was I came up with the bones of the idea, and you have to make it simple so that people can follow along with it, right? So the idea was your top three reasons as to why you enjoy Power Rangers, because everyone has a different reason for why they enjoy this brand, or they enjoy the show, the comics, whatever, and how they got into it. So name your top three reasons. You can be as creative as you want with it, but for more engagement, there's a ton of creative people in the community, tons.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that I couldn't do that by myself, and I know that I'm not the most creative person in the first place. So I reached out to a few folks at the beginning, and I said, hey, what do you think about this idea? And I showed them what the idea was, top three reasons, post a minute-long video at most, because we don't want to keep it too long. That takes people out of it for people who are viewing it on the outside.
Right.
Post pictures if you need to help sell it as well. And the first hashtag, the first version of it was, I enjoy Power Rangers, because nobody had used it. And I thought that if, and I was thinking about I Love Power Rangers, and then I thought, okay, I know what the internet is capable of. Do I want to risk it? Right. And for like bad actors to get involved. But then Kentucky GM Joshua Moore convinced me, no, you know what? That is the best way to go about it. Use that. Only a handful of people have used it. So change it to that. So thank you, Josh, greatly for that contribution. Seriously, I don't think this would have been as successful if I stuck with we stuck with the first hashtag. So it was a matter of reaching out to a few folks that who I admire on social media through Twitter and Instagram, knowing that, you know, they could share it to their followers as well and get the word out that way. The other idea too was to have it, to introduce the idea a few days early,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted people to be able to prepare for it, right? I didn't want
people
just going cold turkey. You don't get the best sorts of response if you do that. And I know people have mentioned to me, well, if you do it early, you know, you run the risk of Hasbro finding out about it early, or like someone posting it early. And I was like, you know what? It's worth the risk. If they find out about it earlier, whatever happens, you know, I believe that people can follow instructions and we can all come together, because it was, I think, of paramount importance that we all do it together.
Yes. Because that, together we are more.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, funny thing, that poster, the teaser poster, is the background of my work laptop. Nice. Like, I love that poster to death. I love the logo. Say what you will about the movie, but that poster is perfect for what it does. It has the best phrase, the best catchphrase, and I think it represents the brand accurately. But anyway, I reached out to a few folks. They gave me their thoughts on it. I adjusted accordingly. And then that Thursday before May 3rd, I rolled out the idea on my social media.
Mm-hmm.
Folks retweeted it who knew about it. It gained steam from then. Like, everyone was like catching on with it.
And for the most part, everyone followed the directions. Like, I only saw maybe two or three that were before the day.
Yes. Yes. I did. I saw the same thing. And to those people, to those folks credit, I believe English may not have been their first language.
Sure.
So, you know, there may have been a little bit of direction being lost in translation, which is fine. I just tried to, as kindly as I could, point out, you know, we're doing this on the 3rd. So if you could save it till then, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
So the other idea too was, I actually had this planned, or started thinking about it, the week of school vacation.
Mm.
And I thought about, and that was like the week, I believe it was the week after the FanFirst event. And I didn't want to do it then because, well, people from work are on school vacation trying to deal with their kids. They're not going to sit on social media, and like, people at Hasbro are probably watching their kids or hanging out with them or doing whatever. They're on vacation. So that was a major part of why it was on May 3rd, was simply because it was a good day to choose. And no way was I going to go up against Star Wars Day. No way should we go up against that. No way. May the 3rd power protect you or something. I don't know. The phrase you want to use. But that's really why May 3rd was chosen, because it was like midweek. I knew people who are working at Hasbro. You know, it's not Monday where they're like, okay, I got to get back to work.
Right.
Look at all the social media, right? Tuesday, they're probably a little bit more into it, probably cruising the internet a little bit more, looking for stuff. And if you do the latter half of the week, goodbye. You know,
yeah, it's like people are checking out. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So in my mind, May 3rd was the perfect day for it. And then what happened afterwards was just like,
okay, we can talk about what happened afterwards. So,
okay.
At 3:14 p.m., Power Rangers tweeted out from their account, "Wow, Ranger Nation, we are really feeling the love today. Well, let's just say the feeling is mutual. You're all more phenomenal. Hashtag I love Power Rangers." And they had a picture that was kind of like a collage of different season pictures. There even looked to be like a fan edit for In Space, which is a little weird. But no, for the most part, that was the tweet. First off, well, we're going to talk about what came after that. But just from that initial tweet, I was surprised that we even got recognized for that, because it worked. That means that your strategy worked. It generated enough momentum on social media where it's popping up on their social media dashboard and they're like, whoa, what is this about?
From the first set of tweets that were tweeted out that morning, you know, I never expected this. You know,
right.
I try to go in with an open mind. Like, this is strictly that we're showing why we love Power Rangers, right? Why we adore this brand. Tagging Hasbro in the Power Rangers account, and it was important to that because, again, I felt like we needed to show reasons other than the goofiness of why we love this stuff.
Right. They got to know that we're serious about it. We have a love for it for different seasons and for different characters and for all different reasons. And there were some people that were sharing very personal stories about, like, even why Power Rangers saved their life. And I thought, that's incredible.
Yes. And when I read those tweets, and I tried, like, every time I saw a tweet using the hashtag, or, and it was a lot to keep up with it at some point, but I'm one of those people where I like things a lot, like, just to show that I support people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like liking and replying to things as I could, and like seeing the reasons, and like even such personal reasons too, I was taken aback. I was like, this is amazing in a way. And it's personal, and you get to know people better because of it as well. And I think that speaks to the community aspect of it, right? Like, we all love this thing, but we all have different reasons. And like you said, it saved people's lives because maybe they were not in the best situation at some point in time, and Power Rangers helped them get through that. And say what you will about the show, silly superheroics with rubber monsters and whatever, fine. You know, we acknowledge that. The point is that it's something that when it does well, it should be recognized for, and it brings people together. Even though we might be seen as a niche community, there's a ton of love and passion for it. And you focus on those areas, you'll bring the best out of it. I firmly believe that. And this event was a way of doing that and showing people at the company that own the brand, this is why it matters. And these are the things you should be focusing on to try to sell it even to other folks, right? Outside.
Right.
Outside the fandom, you know, again, people see rubber monsters, corny humor, whatever. But like, when people see our reasons, like we like the designs, we like the Zord battles, even they'll see the personal reasons, and then they could say, oh, that's how I feel about so-and-so brand. So I understand why people like this. Because the thing about Power Rangers as well is, more often than not, when you see it brought up in anything outside our fandom, it's used as a pejorative.
Correct.
It's used as something that, like, I think with the latest example
was the Star Wars Boba Fett.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, and like, if you look at that motorcycle gang, right? Like, the most that they share in common is that they're mostly solid colored, like, motorcycles, and like they have sort of matching outfits. But are they completely head to toe? No. Do they all look like they're part of a team? No. Like, but that's the thing. Like, people outside, that's what they latch onto. It's like, oh, they're color coded. They must look like Power Rangers. Therefore, it's awful.
Well, not just like it's awful, but there are some times where it reminds people of Power Rangers. Like, people are making Met Gala jokes. Like, that's something that happens every year. It's like, oh, look, it's Rita Repulsa. I think that's cool because it shows how into the zeitgeist that Power Rangers is, like, embedded into our culture.
Yes. Yeah. And you're absolutely right about that. So the fact that people can call upon that is the positive aspect of it, right? It is that they at least they recall it enough, because they could be like, Power Rangers, what's that? Right. instead of using it as some sort of however term they want to use it as. So you're absolutely right about that. So that was me being negative for the pejorative aspect, and you brought in the positive aspect of it, which I greatly appreciate.
But it just goes to show, I think, that it was a success, because we got this tweet from them. But then we got this, or they said, since we have been feeling the love today from you, Ranger Nation, we wanted to share a little preview of what's to come. Wild Force Blue, and stick with us in 2023 because we're shifting into high gear. Hashtag I love Power Rangers. And that was like an hour and a half later at 4:58 p.m. on May 3rd.
So funny thing about this tweet, I mean, I never expect this in a million years, ever.
No.
The one thing I find interesting about it is they have press photos of the next wave, right?
Right.
So they're sitting on them, waiting for them to be revealed. And the fact that this was an early surprise, I mean, it blew me away. And then people started tagging me. And I'm like, I'm glad you thought to tag me, but you all did this.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. This isn't only me. I'm the guy that came up with the initial idea, and people helped me refine it to what it was. And when I look at this figure now, I think it's the fandom figure,
yep. Right?
Because we all participated in it. We all showed why we love it. And so now Wild Force Blue is forever, for me, going to be known as the fandom figure, because you all earned it. You all put that energy and effort into it. And you all showed the reasons why you love it.
And they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to do any of this.
No, the first tweet was sufficient, in my opinion. Like, that was unexpected, right? I would have been happy with that. So when the second tweet came out with the figure, I was going to see a concert that night, and I was supposed to go to a meet and greet VIP event. And the instructions told me, oh, you have to be at the venue at 5:30, and you know, and then you'll be meeting the band at 6 for the meet and greet. And then I get to the venue, and they're like, oh, it happened at 5. And I'm like, what do you mean it happened at 5? And they're like, yeah, it happened at 5. And I'm like, but look at this email I got in the instructions. And there was a few other people there as well who got screwed as well. And we were just all in disbelief. So I'm like sitting in line, like feeling crushed because I didn't get to meet the band. But then again, then I'm seeing this and I'm like, you know what? This is great that this happened. I'm going to be happy about this. I'm like replying to people, and like that helped lift my spirits up even more after what happened. Like, it's just, it was unthinkable that this could happen.
Yeah. And I saw criticisms about it. Like, Hasbro is just, they're throwing a bone, whatever. I look at it as, we reached someone on the brand. They took notice and were like, wow, I guess they really do care.
Yes.
Let's give them something. They didn't have to do that. They could have sat on that for another month, for all we know, for another fan first event or social media drop or whatever. And you could tell it was done super quick because of this, because it wasn't the highest resolution image ever. They put the hashtag, they put some graphics over it. So you could tell that was something that they did quick. But obviously someone had to get approval to announce that figure officially.
Right. And that's the most amazing part of it. Like, again, when I looked at this and when I tried to think about what are the different angles that this would come forth and what would it do? One of it was, okay, you know, Hasbro hears a lot of our guff and it's warranted, right?
Sure.
We need to criticize things that they do, right? That we don't see are up to par with what we think it should be handled. Now, is that to say that all of the criticism is fair? No, there's a lot of unfair criticism as well. And I think, you know, expectations have to be managed in that way.
Sure.
But there's a person and there's a group working on this brand that sees everything. And, you know, and I know after that fan first event, they were like, oh my God, why am I even here? Why am I working on this? Right. So for them to see something like this, they said, okay, that's the reason what I'm working for.
I get it. Power Ranger fans, we're nitpicky. We can be overcritical, but we can also be positive when we need to be. And that's one of the reasons I think this was a success. And it just goes to show, as long as we approach things in a more positive way and maybe address some of those concerns in a more positive light, instead of just constantly old man yelling at Cloud. but I think there's value in the positivity. And I think when a lot of positivity happens, you get positive things in return, almost like a karma situation. And I think the one, hey, we love our fans too, was great, but it's also like, look, here's a toy reveal that we didn't have to reveal.
Yep, absolutely. You know, and again, the main point was to remind us why we love this. Beyond all, that was the main point. Everything else is extra.
That was all extra, because I think we need to remind ourselves as a fandom, and you know, usually we get these kind of feelings on Power Rangers Day, National Power Rangers Day on August 28th. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good for us to remind ourselves in any fandom, go back to basics. What's the personal reason that I love this thing? Mm-hmm. Why do I love it? Why do I continue to be involved in it? And, you know, some of my best memories in related to Power Rangers isn't because of the show. It's because of like my friends and family and experiences that I've gone to do because of the thing that I love. It's important to remind ourselves every once in a while that what's the reason you love something? Because over time, I think we can all get pretty jaded by, you know, all the negative stuff that happens. So it's good to remind ourselves.
Yep. That's why this happened. The spark that was lit was because of the Fan First event, but the rest of it was just, I don't think it would have happened without it. I really don't. Right. I think the Fan First event was the trigger. And I think it was a long time coming as well that something like this had to happen. And I'm just glad that people responded the way they did. And I'm glad people shared their reasons. And I watered up at various points of the day reading people's reasons. They were very touching, and they were they were why, you know, we're all on this rock floating through space, right? But like things like this, community is of extreme value to us. There's a lot of people I haven't met either, and being able to connect on that level is excellent. It's just great. I don't think there's another experience like it when you have a community like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach, anything for Adam that you want to know or want to ask?
I kind of said my piece on Twitter the day of. I just was really proud that he got this all together and really united the fandom. Adam's been a good friend for a few years now, and just seeing his enthusiasm, I think, kind of relit a spark in some of us that are like, yeah, you know what? We do love Power Rangers. And getting that reminder and getting to express that through this kind of organized effort that, you know, Adam started, I think is just really admirable, and super glad that he did this and super glad to know him.
Thank you for those words. They mean the world to me. They really do. I mean, that's, again, community, your friendship, the folks I interact with online, just because we just like this stupid show with spark explosions, you know, but, I may have come up with the idea. It was just a thought in the back of my head, and I never imagined like it could happen to something like this. And then I should not get all the credit. I should not get a lion's share of the credit. And I don't want the lion's share of the credit. I want people to be proud of what they did. And I want people to be proud that they were able to show themselves in this way as well and share that love. That's what makes life worth living.
100%. I think one last thing that we can touch on that came a few days later last week on May 6th, Power Rangers Dino Fury won the GLAAD Award for Outstanding Kids and Family Programming. So this was an achievement for the cast, crew, writers, and production team, because the GLAAD Awards, you know, represent LGBTQA representation in media. And I know Power Rangers was up against some other pretty powerful nominees. So for them to win this award, even just when they were announced that they were nominated, it got a really huge positive response. But, you know, now they actually won it. And I think this is just a fantastic milestone to end that week.
Better than any Kids' Choice Award ever.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, agreed.
When I saw the news, I was like, oh, wow, like it actually won. And I think that speaks to the cast and crew on the show, the work they're committed to doing. And this is important, too, because this is one of the tenets of Power Rangers, that whoever's behind the helmet could be anybody, right? Could be anybody. The intrinsic thing about Power Rangers is that it's diverse and it has various people in it, and everyone has a chance at representation. not everybody has yet. I don't,
right.
We may be close to it, but it's just something that it just does without being overbearing about it too. So even if you like think that other forms of media or other brands are like, oh, we have to be this way, Power Rangers does that naturally.
It's part of the DNA.
Right. When I saw this news, I was like, this is excellent because I know what this means to so many people, to so many kids watching, yeah. to so many, you know, the teenagers and adults that watch. This means the world to them. And if I were Simon and the rest of the cast and crew, I would be on cloud nine, I think, having seen this. I think that this award might be one of the best awards Power Rangers has ever won, in my opinion.
Adam, you said it best. Yeah. Like, it's better than any Kids' Choice. And it is. Kids' Choice Awards were, I mean, that was a Nickelodeon thing on a Nickelodeon show for Nickelodeon.
Yep.
This is different. This is like a national organization and or international. And there were so many different shows and so many categories for the GLAAD Awards. And I was excited when Power Rangers was nominated, but now that it actually won in its category, I hope that's another instance where people can look at that and say, oh man, wow, Power Rangers is starting to be groundbreaking. And yeah, this representation is long overdue. Power Rangers should have done this years ago. And, you know, we've had steps, you know, whether it was Trini in the Power Rangers 2017 movie or Remy and Ari in the Beyond the Grid issues of the comics and them sharing a relationship. That's work that Melissa Flores did on the brand. That's work that Daphna Plebin did for Boom Studios to push that. Marguerite Bennett, who wrote that. And so it just felt like over the years, there's been this buildup and, you know, doing small things like an online RPG or a comic book. But now it's in the show. And it's part of Izzy's character. And you can't get rid of it without getting rid of a significant portion of the show. The Garcia family is so integrated into, and we've talked about this on our episode reviews, the Izzy's family, the Garcia family is so integrated into the show that her identity is part of this show and part of this season. And I think Simon and the rest of everyone who helped bring this together should be very proud, and it's well-deserved, and I hope they can keep that progress going.
Yeah. It's all, you know, those tiny steps of what came before added up to this. They added to it. They allowed this to happen. So, you know, even though this award is for Dino Fury, I certainly credit Melissa and Daphna and Marguerite for the work that they started on the comics as well and through the RPG. Their steps led to this. Let's continue this. Let's see more of this. That's what the hope is. Because if there's any brand that can do it, it's Power Rangers.
Absolutely. Well, Adam, it's been amazing having you on the show, and I hope our listeners had this chance to get to know you. If they want to connect with you on social media, where can they find you?
You can mostly find me on Twitter at LittleAdam87, so not little the word, it's like the rapper, like a rapper named Lil Adam, you know? Long story behind that, I won't get into it. but that's a nickname that just stuck with me, so you can find me there. Yeah, I think that's the primary place.
And we'll definitely have a link to your profile in the show notes. And definitely I encourage our listeners to follow Adam. He's always a beacon of positivity. And I think the hashtag I Love Power Rangers is an extension of his personality and how he wants the brand to succeed and deserves to be recognized. So it's been awesome having you on the show. I'm so glad that we get to talk Power Rangers. And whenever you want to come back, if you want to join our comic review, we'll take more people for the comic review episodes too, if you're ever interested. So
awesome. I'm honored to be here, and I'm honored that you've invited me, and I will gladly take you up on that offer in the future. But one thing I want to add before we end is that on one of Josh's videos, Lightning Figure PR, one of his videos, I saw someone post a comment, Adam should do this every month. And I'm like, no. I mean, I'm flattered that you would think that, but no, this only works. Like, this may work a couple of times, but once every month, I'm not cut out for that. I'm sorry.
Maybe not once a month, but maybe once a year. I think that'd be Yeah. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. Yeah, maybe we can get it rolling once a year for our pre-Power Rangers Day event. It could be that.
Exactly. It's like Christmas in July or something, but yep. It's like Power Rangers Day in May.
Yep. I'll take that.
Zach, where can people find you? Where can they keep up with what you're doing?
Sure. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Zach Lavoie. It's where I post most of my inane ramblings and pictures of food that I'm eating because... Delicious. Apparently that's all I do. Like, yeah. I don't know. My Twitter is a weird hodgepodge of like the fandom stuff I love, weird thoughts that creep into my brain at 3 o'clock in the morning, D&D, and like pictures of, hey, this is what I had for dinner tonight because it looks delicious.
That's fine. That's how it should be.
Exactly. And then you can find me over on Twitter and Instagram at TrekkieB47, streaming, lunchtime gaming, and occasional weekend stuff. Over at twitch.tv/TrekkieB47. And that'll about do it for this episode of Ranger Command. Stay tuned next week because we are going to be reviewing episodes 8 through 11 of Dino Fury Season 2, the first half of Season 2. Hopefully, maybe we'll get an announcement date between now and when we record of when the second half of Dino Fury is coming back. And then we're still planning some things for the big milestone, Ranger Command 200 regular episodes. You've got 86 extra episodes. So stay tuned for more details on that. As always, you can find those details mainly over on our Twitter at Ranger Command PH. So Ranger Nation, let us know what you think. If you have questions, you can email us at rangercommandpowerhour@gmail.com or check us out at rangercommand.com or on Twitter at Ranger Command PH and on Instagram and Facebook at Ranger Command Power Hour, all one word. Adam, once again, thank you so much for joining the podcast. It's been awesome having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Until next time, Ranger Nation, we'll catch you on the next Ranger Command Power Hour. Later, everyone.
Music's playing in my head right now. I love Power Rangers.
And see, that's the fade out. All right.
See, I thought about that. I was like, what should be the fade out?
You've been listening to the Ranger Command Power Hour, only on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You can catch a new episode every other Saturday. Find us on the Morphin Grid at www.rangercommand.com. Follow us on Twitter at Ranger Command PH. Like us on Facebook and Instagram at Ranger Command Power Hour. Ranger Command is also on Patreon. Become a patron by pledging as much or as little as you like every month and receive cool perks. By pledging, you are helping us make our show even better. Go to patreon.com/rangercommandph to learn more. Thanks for listening.